Turn your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 16. I'd like to speak on the subject, Four Messages from Hell. Four Messages from Hell. You know, there's a lot of false beliefs about what people in hell say. A lot of people say, well, I'm glad I can go to hell because I want to be with my friends. There are some people who say, you know, I don't want to get saved because if I get saved, then I won't be with my relatives. And some won't get saved because their family religion has been such and such all their years. And they would think that, oh, they're dishonoring their parents by getting saved. There are certainly people who think that there will be a great party in hell, and that that won't be a problem because all their friends will be there, and they're going to have a great party in hell. Well, in Luke chapter 16, we have the account of the Lord Jesus Christ and his account of the truth of what it's like in hell. And in this passage of scripture, actually we have four messages that we're going to talk about. Two of them are from the rich man who was in hell, and two of them are from Abraham, who was in paradise and in conversation with the rich man who was in the flames of hell. And so as we look at Luke 16 this morning, I feel in one sense the word, I feel that this is what the Lord would want me to preach. But I'd have to say that this message, the message is far graver and serious than maybe I'm prepared to present today. Four messages in hell. The first message in hell we find in verse 24. The rich man in hell cried, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The first message from hell was from Lazarus, and he said, I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame. There are those modern theologians today and modern preachers today that says there is no fire in hell. That hell is just because it's a place of separation from God. But here we find Lazarus, his message in hell, a man who really was there. He said, I am tormented in this flame. Not only we find that hell is a place of flame, but it is a place of the torment of the flames of hell. The Lord Jesus spoke about hell in Mark chapter 9. And you know, it's amazing how the liberals, the modernists that deny the Bible, they talk about the God of love, and they talk about the compassion of God, and they say there couldn't be a place called hell. But notice what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9 verse 42, it says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, where into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. The torment of hell. Anyone that is in hell today, they have a message. Their message is, I am tormented in this flame. The second message we have In this account, we have the message of Abraham. And Abraham was asked to send Lazarus over into hell and to just take one drop of water and give some, even a little bit of relief to the rich man in hell. And Abraham made it clear, as the rich man had asked that Lazarus would leave paradise and come over into hell, he made it clear that the second message of hell is that there's a no escape from this place. There is no escape from this place. Abraham said, "Son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, there is between us and you a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come pass from hence to you cannot." Nobody from paradise was able to go over to hell and relieve the suffering of anybody in hell. And nobody in hell was able to leave that place because there was a great gulf fixed. An impossible impasse, a gulf that never could be bridged. We recognize that this is certainly in the Old Testament economy. And we're not going to explain the fact that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he led captivity captive. And he led all those, Abraham and all those that were saved, out of paradise and took them up into heaven. And now in 2 Corinthians 12, it says when the Apostle Paul, he went into the third heaven, it says he went into paradise. And we recognize that all the saved people in paradise were waiting for Christ to die for their sin. Their sin had been covered on the basis of faith in the future blood of Jesus Christ. But and so in Jesus' lifetime, that had not yet been taking place. And so we're not going to go into all that explanation. But at this point, paradise and hell were separated by a great gulf. And the truths here are certainly truths that are important truths. And Abraham says, you know, anybody that's in hell can't get out. Anybody that's in hell, they can't get out. There's no escape. You know, there's two grim realities of that. There's two grim realities. One is hell is forever. The Bible says, "Where their worm dieth not," speaking of the torment of hell. Where the fire is not quenched, that hell is a real place, but it's also a spiritual place. It is a place where the body does not burn up. It's contrasted to heaven, where in heaven you have a body, but it's not a physical body. It's a spiritual body. In hell, everybody in hell has a body. They can talk. They can see. They have a mind. They can reason. But it's not a flesh and blood body that will burn up. It's a spiritual body. We don't understand it, but that is the truth. You see, our body is just a temporary tent. You and I are living soul. We just live in this body. We're not like the evolutionists, like the scoffers say. They want life to be material. Life is not material. The Bible says that God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. Man is a living soul. Man is an eternal being. Man has been made in image and likeness of God. And in that sense, man is a spiritual, rational, moral being that will exist forever. And our existence today is merely in temporarily this body. But the you, the real you and I, will live forever. There's no escape from this place. It makes it very clear what the Bible says. Is appointed unto man, Hebrews 9:27, is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. Is appointed unto man once to die. Death only comes once, and then is followed by eternity. There is no escape from this place, but to reject Christ is to reject Him forever. You know, you think about torment. But think about torment without escape. You know, you can be in a concentration camp. And you can say, you know, I can escape this through death. Now, you really could escape it through death. But you really wouldn't be escaping much if you weren't saved. If you're saved, you would be escaping. You know, you could be in a concentration camp or a prison camp, and you could say, I'm looking forward to the day the war is over. And I get released from this prison camp. You know, you could be in a place where you are being interrogated and you're being tormented. And you can say to yourself, you know, I am not going to break. I am not going to break. If they don't kill me, they'll have to let me go. There is a sense of the tormented being ended. But you know, in hell, there's no hope of the torment ever to be lessened. Hopelessness is a very real thing. Hopelessness is a dimension of torture that is beyond comprehension. There is no escape from this torment. The second message from hell. The third message from hell. Verse 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, if you can't send Lazarus over us in hell, send him back to earth. He says, thou wouldst send him to my Father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. There's two messages here, but we're going to combine in one. One message is, don't come to this place. Don't come to this place. You know, it's a hard thought to think of maybe a loved one that has died and they weren't saved. It's not a pleasant thought to think of their death. It's not a pleasant thought to think of their eternal state. But the Bible tells us that they do have a message for you. If you are unsaved, they have a message for you. The message is, don't come to this place. Don't come to this place. It is a lie to think that any of your relatives would want you to hang on to your vain religion that sent them to hell. It is wrong to think that any of your friends who lived a sinful life are in hell saying, "Hey, come." No, if there was any real friend that you had, they're saying, "Don't come to this place." The message of hell, don't come here. Pastor Kid Gary, the pastor there at Theka Road Baptist Church, we had time to sit in his office. And you know, I never did hear his testimony about how he had gotten saved. And I said, "Brother Kid Gary, tell us how you got saved." And he says, "I tell you," he says, and he pointed a picture, missionary Ed Weaver came to our town. And he said, and of course this is probably 45, 50 years ago, and he would come to these villages and he would have a cinema. In other words, he would have some kind of movie projector. And nobody had movie projectors. No, there was no such things as in backcountry. There's no such things as people seeing cinema. And so he said he came to our town and he was going to be there all week. And he was showing cinema and I wanted to see the cinema. And so I went. And he said he showed the one cinema. And after this cinema, he says, "Now we're going to have another one. But before I do, I'm going to preach." And he preached. And two unique things about that situation. Mr. Kiyagiri had just lost his father 2 years before. And the preacher got up to preach. And he preached the message. And he said in this message, "There's someone in hell telling you, don't come here. There's someone in hell telling you, don't come here." And Mr. Kiyagiri had on the top of his mind his father who had just passed away. And he personalized that message that it was his father. It was his father who was saying, "Don't come here." The next night they asked him to go to the preaching service, and he said no. Next night he said, "No, I'm not going." Next night he said, "No, I'm not going." Next night he said, "No, I'm not going." But by Sunday morning, he was ready to surrender. And Sunday morning he went to church and Brother Weaver preached. And Julius was just waiting for the invitation, because he was ready to get saved. He knew that he had a father in hell who was saying, "Don't come to this place." The third message in hell: don't come to this place. I'm going to expand that third one into another one, which is very similar. Send someone to my unsaved relatives. Send someone to my unsaved relatives. Send someone. Go tell. Have someone tell my unsaved relatives about this place. Send someone. You had a father that was in hell and you're saved. Would he be saying to you, go tell your brothers. Go tell your sister. Go tell them. Go tell them. The last message we have from hell is the Bible has the answer. The Bible has the answer. He asked, he said, Abraham, send Lazarus to my five brethren. And Lazarus said, nay, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Think about it. The attack on the Bible. Think about the attack on the Bible. Think about preachers that attack the Bible. Think about teachers who attack the Bible. Think about the media, how they attack the Bible. Think about people you know, how they mock the Bible. And yet, the message from hell is let them hear the Bible. Let them hear the Bible. Makes you realize that the attack on the Bible is from the devil. The attack on the Bible is attack on the eternal destiny of people's souls. The Bible has the answer. They don't need someone raising from the dead. They need someone, they need to listen to what the Bible has to say. Notice it says they have Moses and the prophets. I thought about that for a minute. Well, you know, you won't have to go very far with Moses and the prophets for them, for anyone to hear the message that a person needs to hear. Turn to Genesis. Let's look at a few verses in the book of Genesis. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Here we find that man is not an animal. We find that man is distinct from all the other plant and animal life on the earth. We find that man was made in the image of God. The Bible says, let us make man in our image. Very interesting. God reveals himself from the very first book of the Bible that he is a Trinity. He is a one being revealed in three distinct and yet inseparable persons. He says, let us make man in our image. Man in the image of God. Man is a person. He is a being with intellect. He has reasoning abilities. Man is a person with emotions, with affections, with likes and dislikes. Man is a living being with a will. Man is a being with intellect, emotion, and will. He can determine his future. He can plan his future. He can reason. He's been made in the image of God as a person, and God is a person. He's been made in the image of God, and God is a spiritual being, and man is a spiritual being without end. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man became a living soul. You know, I was in Africa, and we went to this game preserve, and they have a section where they're preserving rescuing chimpanzees. And of course, it's very evolutionary. And they're trying to compare chimpanzees with humans. And they're talking about how smart they are and how their DNA matches with man and so much percentage, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really kind of amazing that on this game preserve they have this river, but chimpanzees never cross the river. They can't swim. And I thought, they're trying to tell me in one breath that this chimpanzee is our nearest relative, and then he's telling them that he can't even swim. You know, chimpanzee wasn't made in the image of God. Chimpanzee doesn't have an eternal spirit. A chimpanzee wasn't made in the image of God. He does not have intellect, emotion, will in the same way that any human has. The Bible tells us that we are a living soul. In that same breath, he's saying we have an eternal existence. In the same breath, he's saying you and I are responsible moral beings. We have a conscience. We know right and wrong. We are responsible for our sin. We cannot blame our sin on other people like the psychologists are trying to tell us. We sin because we choose to. And when we sin, there are always consequences to sin. Genesis 2:17. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Death is the result of sin. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Genesis tells us, Moses tells us, everybody has sinned. And everybody is going to face the consequence of sin, death. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. All realities. You know, why is it that people today wonder if there is a God? I read an article that the Archbishop of Canterbury said, you know, there's times I wonder if there is a God. He's the head of the Church of England. He said, I wonder if there's a God. Well, you know what? Sin separates us from God. Sin is real, and the separation from God is real. Now, Jesus said, the Bible says, that day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Spiritual death is a real reality. You can have religion, but you can be separated from God. Archbishop of Canterbury is a clear illustration of that. A man with all sorts of religion, but he's separated from God because he's a sinner. Until that sin is taken care of by Jesus Christ, they'll be separated from a personal knowledge of a living God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The message of Moses. Receive the message of Moses that you're a living soul, that sin is real and sin has its consequences. Genesis 3:15, but there's a provision for man's sin. And that provision is found in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will be born of a woman. And he will bruise the head of Satan. He will pay for man's sin. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head. The first mention of the gospel. They have Moses and the prophets. Now, we didn't even get through the third chapter of Genesis. And we got the whole plan of salvation right here. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. We didn't get to Isaiah 53 where it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We didn't get to Isaiah 64 where it says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If you're here today and you're not saved, there is a message for you from hell. Don't come here! There's a message from a father, from a mother, a brother, a sister, a relative, a friend who has died without Christ. Maybe you mock God together with them. Maybe you participated in sin with them. They've died and gone on into eternity. They say, don't come here. If you're saved, there's a message from hell as well. Go to my Father's house. For I have five brethren. Go to my Father's house. You know, it's not enough that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's also a message from the world below. Go to my Father's house. You know, as I think of this message, I think of the false security of comfort and riches. The false security of comfort and riches. Abraham said to Lazarus, to the rich man, you know, Lazarus, he spent his life in poverty. He spent his life in pain. He realized he was immortal. He doesn't tell the rest of the story, but here is a man who realized that he was going to die. He was never blinded by the false comforts of life and the false security of riches. He had gotten saved. But the rich man was deceived by his riches. The rich man was deceived by his comfort. You know, isn't it amazing? Today, we think the most important thing in life that could ever happen to us is that we have a comfortable life with all the money we need, so all that we would ever need is provided. Isn't that the message of America? That really all that counts in life is to have comfort and the security of riches. And that's what sent the rich man to hell. The comfort of riches, the comfort of ease, deceives men into thinking there's no real eternity. There's no real hell. I don't need to get ready for it. I dare say that you can put that into reality on an everyday basis. Try to talk to someone that has all the money you'd ever need. Try to talk to someone that has all the comforts of life. Oh, they'll be satisfied with religion. But being saved? Not interested. I remember when the Simonsons first went to Kenya. And tell you what, Kenya has really changed. Kenya is really changing. I mean, you think of Kenya, you think of Africa. Let me tell you what's really changing. Where the Simonsons and Rangers live, everywhere you look, there's nothing. Almost no trees. But there's building everywhere. Building everywhere. People everywhere. And the town between Thika and Nairobi, I remember when the first time I drove that road, it was like we were on this road forever. And there was nothing there. In fact, the Stampers, when they first went to Thika 20-some years ago, they would tell about giraffes, you know, being outside in the neighborhood. And you read back to Thika, I think, 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, 100 years ago, they would talk about how the guy had just killed 5 lions outside his house that day. Well, you aren't going to see any lions there. You aren't going to see any giraffes there. You aren't going to see any wildlife there. You're going to see anything. They're long gone. They are long gone. Then they didn't have the game parks. Most of Africa the animals would be extinct. But I remember when the Simonsons first went to Kenya, and I remember reading Simonson's letters about all these people getting saved. And I said, Mr. Simonson, what makes Kenya so much different? Number one, they didn't have TV. Well, that didn't even enter into the conversation because they didn't have TV. If you're going to say anything that makes Kenya bad today, it's because they have TV. You should see the eyes pop out of people when I talked to this one man and I said to him, you know, good Christians Many good Christians won't have a TV. And I says, and you know, anything that's on TV, it pictures the worst that is in America. And his eyes pop out. But now you not have TV in Kenya 25 years ago. But in Kenya, it was a normal experience to walk down the street and see a dead person just laying there. I said, Mr. Simonson, what's it like in Kenya? He says, well, when you tell people, are you saved? They'll say, not yet. What they're saying is they know they need to get saved, and they aren't saved, but they plan on getting saved because they know their life is very short. He said, death was everywhere. Poverty was everywhere. Most people were glad to have one meal a day. That was what it's like 25 years ago. They were ready to get saved. But you see, comfort and wealth and riches, blind people to their true condition. Very few people who live in comfort can comprehend or even believe the message of hell. And it isn't true for us. The more that we enjoy life, and the easier it is, and the more material goods we have, the less we really care about the eternity of other souls. Four messages from hell. I am tormented in this flame. There is no escape from this place. Don't come here. Go to the Bible. The Bible has the answer. The answer of salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I wonder today, are you here unsaved? There is someone in hell saying, don't come here. There is someone in hell saying, don't come here. If you're saved, there's someone in hell saying, go to my Father's house. Go to my Father's house. Either one of those two messages. Whoever we are today, unsaved or saved, there's an imperative. We say, oh, they won't want to hear from us. Those in hell say, go to my Father's house. If you're here today, this could be the day of your salvation. Because there's someone saying, don't come here. Don't come here. You need to get saved. Don't come here. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. Thank you for clear, obvious truth of life. Of reality, of eternity. And Lord, we realize that the comforts of life have robbed our souls of the urgency of hell. And despite, Lord, the lies of comfort and ease and prosperity, we are surrounded by a world of people who will spend eternity somewhere forever. And Lord, these messages need to stir our hearts today. And I pray that they would stir our hearts to action. May it stir our souls to see people as eternal souls who will spend eternity somewhere forever. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today to say, you know, messages for me. There's no hanging on to false, wrong family traditions. It's foolish to hang on to sinful friendships, because there's living souls in hell that are saying, don't come here. And you're here today, young person, adult, senior citizen, and you're not saved. And you could die today. And there would be no escape for eternity. The Lord is speaking to your heart today. You say, you know, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. I'm not ready to face eternity. I need to turn to Jesus Christ. I need to get saved. You're here today, just lift your hand wherever you might be and say, Pastor, pray for me. I believe the Lord is speaking to my heart. He spoke to my heart through this message today that I need to get ready for eternity. And by an uplifted hand, you just will indicate that I might pray for you, not do it publicly, not to embarrass you, but we'll pray for you. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. All right? Anyone else? I'm not ready for eternity. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, torments of hell haven't really gripped my heart much. But I realize there's people in hell saying, go to my Father's house. Maybe you've been afraid to witness. Maybe you just got away from the Lord and you lost power to witness. But God is speaking to your heart today that there is a place called hell. There's a place called hell that people are going to, and that people in hell would want you to tell their relatives about Jesus Christ. Don't listen to what the liberals say. Don't listen to the scoffers who mock people who witness. Don't listen to your own timid heart. Go to my Father's house. Tell them, lest they come also to this place of torment. And even today, the Lord has put upon your heart that person that you need to go to their house and you need to talk to them about Jesus Christ and about the wonderful salvation that Jesus Christ gives. Perhaps you've not been a witness and the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart about, go to my Father's house. There may be someone even in your neighborhood or where you work. There are young people that someone needs to talk to them. Say, God is speaking to my heart today. I've gotten so lost in life that I've missed the main point. Eternity. Say, the Lord has spoken my heart today about being a witness for Christ. Of the urgency, reality of it. Say, just by an uplifted hand, I'm saying yes to the Lord. That person I need to talk to about it, being a witness in general. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Anyone here today? Number of hands? Okay. Amen. Others? How about it, young person? Are you hearing the call of God upon your life? Okay. Amen. Others? God is speaking to your heart. Okay. Thank you. God bless you, young lady. How about you? Do you care? Do you ever think about hell? God is speaking to your heart about being a witness for Christ. Anyone else? While the Spirit of God is speaking. Lord, now thank you for working in hearts today. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that the unsaved have even today to get it settled about their salvation. Get it settled to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to be truly born again. Lord, work in hearts. Give them faith. Give them courage, Lord, to put away their pride and to settle this most important thing. And I pray that, Lord, that you would bless your people. The many decisions have been made to be a witness for Christ. And Lord, for others, I pray that you would speak to continue to not let this truth fall to the ground, but that all of God's people would be stirred within their souls about the reality of an eternal hell. In Jesus' name, amen.